turn with me now in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Hear now the word of God. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God and for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For the Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word through the Apostle Paul that bears your grace to us because of your word. And so we ask now that as we go to you for help, that we depend upon your Holy Spirit to give us illumination and strength for the days to come. And we give you thanks for these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the issue facing my friend Jimmy way back in the days of my college experience was his ever-increasing knowledge of Greek. We were in Greek class, second year, and Professor Chamblin had put us up around the wall, stood us up around the wall for an old-fashioned vocabulary drill. He was to give us the Greek word, and we were to give him the translation and the meaning of the word. Well, everybody was doing pretty well until it came to Jimmy, and Jimmy was at Belhaven College. He was trying to force 4 years of college into seven, and he was doing a pretty good job of that. But when it came to him, his word was peripateo, which means walk. And so Jimmy fussed and fumed and kind of fidgeted around, and he said, I think I know it, because he remembered that peri meant around. And then he heard pateo, and he kind of blurted out, it means around the patio. No, Jimmy, It doesn't mean around the patio. And so Jimmy had to sit down. He was disgraced. It was very obvious that his Greek understanding was not ever increasing. Here today, as we come to this passage of Scripture and our own lives and as we live them before Christ, throughout these years of ministry, I have been asked many questions about the Bible, about situation in Christian living. But one of the most frequent, I suppose, came in many different forms. But basically the question is, how can I grow my faith as a Christian? How can I grow it? How can I make it grow? And I think it was the most frequently asked question. It endures because the followers of Christ request and need to mature in faith. The world system tends to believe that technology will continually provide easier and faster access to more and more things we need, want, and desire. Technology has certainly improved our living conditions, but there are limits to it and to its benefits. Within the Christian community, there seems to be a persistent quest for spiritual technology that will provide us what we desire in spiritual growth. Christian bookstores are increasingly, and you see these online as well, increasingly, and even secular bookstores are stocking many books with the sort of how-to. And their shelves hold many of those. Can one really find a technology that can help us with spiritual growth and increase our faith day by day? There are a myriad of faiths. Spiritual work. We admit it. It's everywhere. Every person is spiritual to some extent. The issue first has to be saving faith. Many faiths compete for our allegiance. Many people are convinced that their faith will get them to their desired destinations. The exercise of faith is a daily thing. And we have people that believe all kinds of things and have faith in those things, or those persons, or those spirits, or whatever they believe. There are many people right here in South Carolina who believe in God, which has been documented by lots of secular polling and religious polling. But when one inquires about the meaning of God with those people, there are as many definitions of God as there are people. The scriptures remind us that even demons believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Constantly in the Gospels, when Jesus encountered the demons, they identified him as the Son of God and as their enemy. James tells us, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." The demons had a very palpable faith and belief about Jesus, but it would not prevent them from going and suffering the punishment prescribed for them. Many people have what might be called historical faith. One believes about Jesus what may be commonly believed about just about any historical figure, such as George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, that they were real people. Historical faith is not what Paul's talking about here in Romans 10. He's talking about saving faith. Saving faith is what he preached. Here, this is what he testified in Acts 20 when the Apostle Paul talked about his own ministry. He said, "I declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." These two things are inseparable. You cannot have faith in Christ without repentance. They go together. Paul later declared, again in Acts, "I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." Faith in Jesus Christ means that one puts his whole trust in him for salvation, from the consequences of sin, physical death, and eternal death, away from the presence of God. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. I tell you the truth, he who believes has eternal life." The Apostle Paul distinguished among many faiths of his day and our own. In Romans 10, the passage that we just read in verses 9 through 13, I'll remind you of what he says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One must have saving faith before he or she can even contemplate growing faith. There's no high-tech way of growing faith. Once a believer is repentant and placing his faith in Jesus alone for salvation, there is only one way to grow. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. A translation of that may be, consequently, faith from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Jesus heard from his Father and spoke what he heard. Listen to what he says in John 12. "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." The Father taught his disciples to listen to Jesus when he said in Matthew 17, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples passed that on, what they heard. In 1 John, the apostle says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The Christian faith is tied up with the idea of the utterance of God and the hearing of his followers. We are called to imitate this relationship with the Trinity. We are invited to listen to God and respond to him in prayer. Ever increasing faith? One must have faith in Christ to even begin to grow it. And then how do you increase it? The Bible reveals several ways that the word of Christ is experienced and is increasingly powerful in one's life. First, it is heard through the reading of the written word of Christ in the Bible. This is the primary source of our lives, and we are to live in relationship to God. God chose to reveal himself to us through his written word. Paul says that scripture is breathed directly from God. You and I have direct access to the very word of God. The Bible you brought with you today, or which you took from the pew rack, where you're sitting is where God speaks. We cannot be full of faith without constantly hearing from God. Hearing God speak daily is the only way in which we can thrive as Christians. The message of God has not changed, just as the Bible's hasn't changed. Therefore, it applies to every time and every aspect of life. That's why you can pick up the Bible on any given day, read a passage that you're familiar with and have read before, and it will have a new meaning applied to what is going on this day. There is no best used by date on the scriptures. It's not printed on there, best used by this date. It's every day. God speaks plainly in the Bible. And one does not have to have great skills in order to understand what it says. Commitment is necessary to find and enjoy its riches. The writer of Proverbs chapter 2 tells about this commitment. Listen as he speaks. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Have you ever studied how silver was mined in the ancient world? It was a totally laborious process. Tedious, but what a payoff. When the writer of Proverbs says, seek for it as you would seek for silver. He's talking about work. He's talking about effort. There's no way for the Bible. You can't do like poor Jimmy, who might have put his Greek New Testament under his pillow and slept on it. It doesn't transfer that way. It transfers simply by us reading it and studying it, mining it like silver. That's a laborious thing, a hard thing. Scripture is not something that will just ease into our minds. It has to be pursued like mining silver. I encourage you to begin reading through the Bible this January. You've got about 6 weeks to get ready. So I want to encourage you to do that. The simple reason is that we grow through the primary source of our life, which is the Scriptures. Time set aside for the reading of God, reading and hearing of God through the Bible should be on everyone's schedule. Second, here is Paul's explanation of preaching in Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. There is something unique about preaching. Many call it foolishness. But there is something unique. It is a tool that God uses throughout the Bible and unto today to carry his message. The Holy Spirit works through preaching to teach, correct, and comfort the people of God. The Holy Spirit works in an exceptional way through the preaching and worship while people are gathered together to hear it. The Holy Spirit moves on each person worshiping, applying his redemptive plan and his teaching each one. This is another reason why it's incumbent upon Christians to gather for worship, because preaching is uniquely part of that and is the center focus of worship as we hear from God. It's not the preacher. It's what's preached. It's the Word of God. It's not the eloquence of one preacher as opposed to another. It is simply that they share the Word of God with you and with themselves. Third, it is heard and seen in the sacraments of our faith, which are the Word visible. In baptism, when we baptize a child, it helps us to see God's covenantal love, His faithfulness, blessing us in new ways. It reminds us of God's blessing promised to Moses in Exodus 34 when He said, "And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.'" God remembers the generations of His faithful ones in baptism. And so that visibly shows us His love and care. The Lord's Supper, which we will soon celebrate, focuses our minds and our hearts on the reality of our sin and its forgiveness through Christ. God's Holy Spirit is present with us in a very special way during the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, where the Word of God is made visible to us so that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Listening to the voice of the Lord is the way that faith begins and continues to grow. The ways to grow our faith used to be called the means of grace. In your script, in your bulletin today, the catechism question that is printed there, if you look at it, what are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption? The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are His ordinances, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer, all of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. There it is. Paul reminded the Corinthians that their lives were being lived in the eternal at that very moment. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." The renewal doesn't stop, but continues through death into life everlasting and toward into total sanctification. There's an inverse proportion that develops in a Christian's life that's described there by Paul. That inverse proportion is that as we age and as we become more and more feeble in that aging process, as we waste away, as Paul says, we don't have to waste away spiritually. We can continually grow spiritually in an inverse proportion to our dying. We die as humans because of the results of the original sin. But because of God's grace and because of the ability that we have in His Word and His ordinances to grow, we can grow continually throughout our lives spiritually. Our faith can ever increase as we mine for it through the Word, like mining for silver. That proportion was described by my mother one time in a physical way. At her 90th birthday, I asked her, "Mom, did you ever think you'd be 90 years old?" And it was kind of unusual because she had had two heart surgeries and many, many serious health issues. And I said, what does it feel like to be 90? And she said, you know, she said, I woke up this morning, and as I opened my eyes, I thought I was 16. And then when I rolled out of bed, I realized I was 90. You see, her soul was not aging. Our souls don't age. We live in this eternal life that God has given us right now. It's not something that we look forward to in the future. It is something we experience now. And that eternal life that dwells in us through the power of the Spirit becomes more and more vivacious and alive as we mine the Word of God, as we spend time hearing preaching, as we spend time seeing the ordinances and the means of grace, and doing those means, praying, witnessing, hearing God's Word preached, reading it, studying it, spending time with God through His Scriptures. We will be renewed one day completely. But that renewal is just the cap to what we are promised in this life as we mine God's Word, that we will grow continually in our spirits. So I encourage you to begin, if you haven't already begun, reading daily God's Word and spending some time looking into it and mining it, that you begin today. And that you join me in reading through the Bible next year and enjoying God's presence through His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that You give us Yourself in the Scriptures. These things are not just about You, that You actually give us of Yourself. You give us of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You, through Your Holy Spirit, bring Your Word to bear in our lives. It amazes us, Father, that You would love us enough to do that. Lord Jesus, we give You thanks that You heard from Your Father and You did only what Your Father did and You said only what Your Father said. Holy Spirit, help us this day to begin that mining process, mining as it were the silver of Your Word and stacking it and enjoying it and growing from it. And we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.